I'm speaking today with Todd Clark and Chris Gonzalez. Todd is the chairman of the Houston Firefighters Relief and Retirement Fund. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And Chris is the chief financial officer for the fund. Gentlemen, did I get your titles correct?
Well, yeah, I'm the executive director.
Executive director, sorry.
Chief investment officer, right.
And chief investment officer.
Right, a little different. Yep.
All right, so gentlemen, the Houston Firefighters Relief and Retirement Fund, we think of it as the Firefighters Pension Fund. It's been in the news lately and the source of some contention for a while. So let me start by asking you, what exactly is the dispute between the pension fund and the city of Houston all about? What does it all come down to?
Well, the bottom line is she wants to pay less into this fund.
She being Mayor Parker.
Mayor Parker wants to pay less into this fund. This fund has been around since 1937. Every benefit that the firefighters have that's paid through this pension system has been approved by past administrations. And what she's wanting to do is take away the hard-earned benefits of the dedicated firefighters.
Okay. Now, the city has been arguing that it does not get all of the information about the fund that it is entitled to. And in fact, as you know, there's a lawsuit for which the city was granted some extra access to the fund's information by a district court judge. I believe just today as we're speaking, your appeal to the Supreme Court was heard. Tell me, first of all, what exactly is at stake in this lawsuit? What is the city seeking that it says it does not have access to?
She is seeking, first let me just say, we report to the Pension Review Board. That's an agency with the state of Texas. We file copies of our actuarial evaluations, appraisal reports, annual audits, and the city has access to all this information. What she's wanting over and beyond that is members' private financial information, and we strongly believe that the statute that protects the Houston Firefighters Relief and Retirement Fund that was created in 1937, it's not intended to give the city these extraordinary powers to demand detailed personal information, but only to allow for an independent actuary audit.
When you say personal information,
then she's allowed under law.
When you say personal information, can you expand on that? What kind of personal information are we talking about?
We're talking about financial information, personal financial information.
So individual information as opposed to aggregate information about the plan, which would be expected to be requested. So aggregate information makes sense, and we send all those reports out, and we're happy to oblige. But they're seeking individual firefighter information, which we don't understand the relevance for.
Okay, so I was going to ask, what do you believe the city would do with that information?
Well, we believe that the city will take that information and try to use it against the firefighters' pension system to make changes to it.
Okay. Now, as you said, the firefighters' pension fund was created in 1937. It was created by the state legislature, was it not?
Correct.
So, and the pension board is a state entity. That makes this different from, say, the police officer's pension fund or the city employee's pension fund. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, we are independent of the city. We are who takes care of the firefighters' pension. The statute was created, like you said, in 1937. The other two funds also have statutes.
Yeah, they have statutes similar to ours. The difference is their statutes allow for what's called meet and confer, which is not control. Meet and confer is a way to bring someone to the table to talk about, potentially negotiate changes either direction. Our plan does not allow for that. So to say that they're controlled, I don't think the other two plans are controlled by the city. They are still controlled by the statute that governs them. They just have that extra option.
All right. I mean, I'm not an actuary or an expert on this. So forgive me if I get some of the terminology wrong.
Sure.
But what I'm getting at though is that as you alerted to, Chris, the city has, shall we say, more I don't know if power is the right word, but the city has more input into the way the police pension and the city employees' pensions are managed and administered, whereas changes can only be made to the firefighters' pension through an act of the state legislature. Is that correct?
Right, and so they have the meet and confer option, which gives them greater access to the table for negotiating benefit changes and plan changes for those two plans. And the meet and confer option was created in both plans within the last 10 years because, and again, you know, we only operate the firefighters' pension plan, and we're not trying to, you know, insult any other plans and where they operate their funding status, but there's a major difference in the financial picture of those two plans versus our plan 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and even today. And so there's a reason, potentially, that it was necessary to go to that measure with those plans, where with our plan, we've been, you know, in the 90% funded range, which basically means that we're very solvent and very secure plan. We've met all of our targets and obligations and assumptions that are necessary to continue to the sustainability of the plan, unlike some of the other plans. And so, in our view, some of these changes is really a grab for money to free up money in a budget, and not about, you know, is this plan in trouble? Does this plan need help? Do they need to change direction?
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. I mean, the city does make a contribution to the firefighters' pension fund.
Correct.
What is the annual contribution that the city makes?
It's 23.9% of the firefighter payroll, which is about $260 million. So in dollars terms, in this previous year, it was about $62 million.
Okay. And, you know, my understanding from the city's perspective is that their concern is that pension funds in general, their payments to these pension funds, and here I'm talking about all three of them,
right,
are expected to rise dramatically over the coming, you know, 10 years or more, to the point where the city is concerned about its ability to make those payments. How much, you know, what can you say to that?
Yeah, there's a couple answers to that. One of them is that those are just projections. So you know, they're based on still some of the roll-through of the losses from 2008, which basically hit everyone, both pension plans and individual investors alike. Since then, we've had a strong recovery. We're almost hitting our targets in the five-year period since then. And the projections that we have for investment returns are that we'll get back to normal, and normal being what the, you know, returns look like prior to that time. So we're still rolling through losses there. Because of those losses, projections are showing an increased contribution from the city over the next 10 years or so. But that aside, one of our points is that the city is looking at the pension plan in isolation of a total compensation package that it pays the firefighters. And they're viewing that contribution even in greater isolation. When you look at the firefighters, they get base pay, they get medical benefits, and they get a pension plan obligation. And when you sum all that up, it totals out total compensation. And our argument is that that in itself, from that perspective, at that high level of total compensation, is fair and balanced for the service the firefighters provide to the city of Houston. So that's how they should view it. And the reason we believe that is a recent study about a year and a half ago, Firehouse Magazine came out with a national firefighter pay study that showed Houston firefighters ranked 139th in the country in base pay. And so they're significantly underpaid versus peer cities. And this is unitized, so it's all equal across the board. And so our argument is, you know, you're underpaying us at the base pay in today's dollars, but we've got a benefit package for retirement that makes up the difference, and therefore you can't change it, you know, because you're balancing out total comp. And the city's wanting to say, you know, the benefit package contributions are too high, therefore they need to be changed. And they're selling that argument, but it's in isolation of the total compensation, and it's not a fair argument, in our opinion.
Okay.
Let me just throw in also, firefighters do not receive Social Security, period. So the pension is all that the firefighters have when they retire. Once they retire, it's not, you know, just rainbows. I mean, now they're facing severe heart disease, cancers. They have the highest risk of cancer than anybody else. You know, with the low pay and the subpar insurance, you know, the pension is all the firefighters have, and they depend on that. And she's definitely trying to hurt the retirees by taking their benefits away that have been approved by past administrations. I mean, so a promise is a promise, and a deal is a deal. And she needs to, the city needs to find ways to honor the contracts made with the firefighters, not constantly try to cut their throats.
Now, when we talk about compensation to firefighters, we also have to talk about overtime pay, correct?
Sure.
I mean, as I understand it, the amount of pension that a firefighter gets is based on an average of their total compensation, base pay plus overtime pay, for what, like the last, is it 3 years or 5 years that they served?
It's throughout their career, yes.
Okay. So, you know, my understanding, and I'm going by, you know, what I've been reading about this all along, is that one of the things the city talks about is that, you know, some firefighters, as they near retirement age, they take on a lot of overtime, which increases this pay factor that determines their overall pension.
You know, but
is that a fair complaint?
I'm sorry. The thing is, we don't control the overtime with the city. The city is shorthanded, so firefighters have to work extra. There's no doubt. They require them to work. I mean, we're short. Short staffed.
Right. So it is part of the benefit accrual, but the city can eliminate overtime. They can bring it up, you know, increase it. They can do whatever they want. They control the schedules and, you know, through recruiting classes have, you know, probably not had adequate personnel levels and therefore had the need to pay for overtime.
Okay.
They can eliminate that problem by, you know, staffing properly and not paying for overtime.
Okay. There's also an issue relating to, and here I'm going to be a bit, I'm going to display a bit of ignorance, refer to a deferred retirement, the so-called DROP program. What's all that about?
The DROP program is a benefit that is used to retain senior members. It's used to keep experienced personnel in the department.
In terms of how that affects a firefighter's pay and or pension, how does that come into play?
It doesn't affect his pay. I mean, the drop is something totally different. It is a benefit that is used, like I said, to keep firefighters here. I mean, and what's happening across the city is firefighters are getting tired of the attacks by this mayor, and they're going to go somewhere else.
Okay.
Where their public safety people are more respected.
But does this DROP program have anything to do with the pensions that a firefighter can receive? Does it affect?
After 20 years, the firefighter, if he wants to continue working, which back in the mid-90s, the city was looking for ways to entice firefighters to have longer careers. So together, the pension plan and the city's administration went to the state, the legislature, and asked for the inclusion of a DROP program. And it was agreed upon by both sides at the time. And the purpose was to retain senior members of the fire department because the city really wasn't hiring new recruits as actively as they should have been. And they knew that. So they wanted to maintain the level of the staffing of the fire department, and they needed a way to entice these guys. So what happens is at the 20-year mark or somewhere after that, a firefighter can say, okay, I'm gonna convert the last portion of my working years into a cash balance program instead. So the money that would have gone into the benefit paying program from that point forward goes into a cash balance program like you or I would have in a 401k. So then when they leave after 30, 35 years, they have a combined program, 20 years of service in a benefit plan that pays a check of a certain amount, and then some cash balance that they've saved over that last 8, 10, 12 years after that point.
Okay.
Combined program, and it gives them some sort of liquidity when they retire so that, you know, if there are cash needs to pay off a home or something like that, they have some ability to do that. But it's an option that they have. They don't have to do it. They can stay on and continue to accrue a benefit. They can leave, or they can go into that program. So they have all kinds of options at that point.
Okay. As I said earlier, as we speak today, but today was the appeal of the ruling from earlier that granted the city greater access to the firefighters' information. How did that go?
Well, basically, the judge ruled, and he said we could appeal. And so right now, everything is in the appellate courts.
Now, is it before the Supreme Court, or is it before one of the circuit courts of appeals?
Yeah, circuit court of appeals.
Okay.
Not to the Supreme Court.
All right, I would have assumed so, but the one news story I read about it said Supreme Court. All right. Do you have any idea at all when to anticipate a ruling?
No, sir, none at all. It's in their hands. It's in the court's hands right now.
Okay. Can you just sum up what the arguments were made before the appeals court?
Again, they asking for information that we feel is private and financial. They're using an actuary firm that we feel, based on the statute, is not independent. And that's the statute says the actuary that the city uses has to be independent. And we strongly believe that this particular actuary firm is not.
Yeah, so our board actually, in regards to this lawsuit, made an offer to the city to provide most of the data that they requested in a masked format so that there was no identifiers about individuals. And then in some parts, in aggregates, so smaller aggregates, maybe five, groups of 25, things like that. So we were going to predominantly provide most of the data they requested. One of the conditions we had was that they use a truly independent actuarial auditor, and they declined to accept our offer, and that's why we went forward in the lawsuit. So it's not that we were completely pushing back. I think the trustees of this plan understand that they have a fiduciary obligation to protect the confidentiality of each member and are acting in that way.
Well, what's the actuarial firm, and why do you believe they're not independent of the city?
The actuarial firm is a company here in the Woodlands area titled Retirement Horizons Incorporated, and they go by RHI. And the reason we believe they are conflicted and they're not independent is because the city has previously paid them for consulting work and is currently in a contract with them for consulting work, actuarial consulting work, specifically related to the three pension plans. So they've already asked them for advice, consulting, analysis, and, basically they're at the city's beck because they have a $400,000 contract with the city.
City Council just approved that $400,000.
So, if you have somebody that works for you, they're not independent of you.
Okay. I presume that one way or the other, when the circuit court rules, that there'll probably be, assuming there's not a settlement somewhere in there, that there'll probably be another appeal to the Supreme Court. If at the end of all of this, the city prevails in its lawsuit, what do you foresee happening from your perspective? What will you do, and how will you and your members adjust if that happens?
And you two oppose this. We feel like this is something that we have to take all the way to the Supreme Court if we have to. And we'll cross that bridge as we get to it. But we strongly feel that the courts will understand. Remember, this is a mandamus lawsuit. This is not a civil, so there's no money. This is just strictly information. And we will strongly fight to protect our members' information.
Okay. Gentlemen, is there anything that I haven't covered that you feel needs to be addressed in this interview?
If you don't mind, let me just tell you a few things. The pension fund is rate of return is 8.5%. There's been a lot of talk lately about that might be in a little high, the rate of return. But I just wanted to share with you, over the report that came out from Susan Combs, the state controller here a few weeks back, she went through her report, talked about pensions, and in her report, she reviewed the 89 pension funds that the Pension Review Board oversees, as in us also. And what came out of that report was Houston Firefighters Relief and Retirement Fund was the second highest funded pension fund in the state, and we were also number one in the 10-year returns, the highest 10-year returns, which is 10.43%. So, I mean, our numbers are good. We're a strong, healthy pension fund. We're not broke, and we don't need to be fixed. We've made the 8.5% over the long term, 10, 20, and 30 year, we've made the 8.5% return. So we're, like I said, we're a strong pension fund, and we will continue in the future to provide the retirement benefits for the Houston firefighters.
Okay. Todd Clark, Chris Gonzalez, thank you very much for talking to me today.
And thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.